Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Program is self-explanatory. We are living in unsettling times, so unsettling that life can sometimes seem hard and meaningless. Poetry brings a sense of purpose, a sense of knowing and direction in troubling times. So let's open up the phone lines and share some poetry. The call-in number is 646-787-1631, and we're going to open up the lines. Good evening. Air code 818, you're on the air.
Well, greetings, Dr. Ingram. Glad to be back with you here. And although, actually, we were supposed to be meeting in person next week, which didn't come about because of this. Remember, I was planning my trip out there, out east.
I remember. I was looking forward to it.
Would
you be willing to share some of your work? To share some of your work?
I guess it only makes sense to do something new that I've written. And, of course, what is it about? It's about what's happening now. This is called Between Days, with a subscript of written on the 23rd day after the start of the 2020 lockdown. Each century produces its own unique curse, and this one is ours. Now we spend days surrounded by wonders that brought this age, trapped between lines of safety, margins drawn farther out until they become margins of solitude, keeping us apart. Our own pox is not from some sin. Rather, this new other life relies on our lives, this virus trying to live between us, like every one of God's other creatures.
Oh, wow. I like that. The virus is trying to come between us.
Yep. Yeah.
And for some, it's doing a good job.
Well, it seemed to me that was one of the things is now it's 6 feet. I hope it doesn't get to 12 or something like that.
Right. Well, thank you, my friend. Stay on the line, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Area code 269, the first three numbers are 270. You're on the air.
I'm 269.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Can you hear me? Hi, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm quite well. And your name?
It's Katarina Bush.
All right. You have a poem for us.
I do. It's called Times of Uncertainty.
I am ready.
All right. Walking through the depths of crisis in the midst of altered lives, finding a hidden chorus which appears to subside, seeking out answers in times of uncertainty, seeking after guidance throughout our own country, looking to others, finding a way to comprehend, feeling confined to new borders, as it becomes a new trend. Parents transformed nearly overnight, becoming teachers conformed to telling our children that everything is all right. Waiting for a solution while trying to lead future generations while we fight to succeed. In the heart of this crisis, in the midst of the cost, while singing a chorus of things we have lost, strong we appear to be, strong we say we are, while always while we are writing history's own memoir.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you have another?
Would you like one on the COVID?
Yes, please.
It's called A Compass. Call ye are in the midst of crisis, where knowledge and skill are used as tools, even a compass, to guide and lead or even fulfill. The calling of bravery, strong and dedicated, to a fight while unwavering in the midst of time shaded. Serving as leaders, being devout and fierce, alone, lending guidance to others as their bravery is shown. Fearless, motivated to go, conquerors in times of fright, as they lead to not only show, while comforting others in plain sight. Through the depths of this crisis, trying times they are, these people being a compass, seen wide and seen far.
Desperate times, trying they are. I agree with that 100%.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I'd like to thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You have a good
evening. Have a great
evening.
Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Area code 678. The first three numbers are 682. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Marie. How are you?
I'm quite well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay?
Right.
I know I heard the last caller. She had a little static.
I think it's something wrong with the system itself. So we're going to trudge on. We're going to keep on going. But
okay.
I can hear you, though.
At this point.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry, your name is?
My name is Michael. Michael Ingram.
Okay, hi, Michael Ingram. This is Marie Cotton, and I live in Georgia in Clayton County.
Yeah, I've seen you online in one of the groups.
Right, yes. Okay, this poem is called Just Temporary. I was able to close heavy eyes, holding a symbolic cross of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, standing on the strongest platform, waiting on a better tomorrow, looking up at blue skies with a hint of sunshine, only to stare at dancing rain and drops of predictable skies, with separated clouds that blanket my held-back tears of mandated shelter and uncertainty. Listen to broken languages of 45 false repetitive pieces. My eyes are open for a better tomorrow.
My eyes are open for a better tomorrow.
Yes,
I like that.
My eyes are open for a better tomorrow. And in the name of
do
the
you
poem,
have another?
As I said, was I do have another. Let's see. Hats off.
And I cut you off. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Sometimes when one wears involuntary hats, the only one that matters is the one that shows patience, strength, and empathy. Even when one seems strong, he or she can be weakened, but not be the face of one's appearance. There's no makeup for the overdue pain. Extend a hand with silence. Be ready to embrace a stranger. For he who listens, learns. For tomorrow is today. Listen to the soft beat of one heart and be ready for a new beginning.
Listen to the soft beat of one's heart and be ready for a new beginning. Perfect.
Yes.
I want to thank you for calling in.
Can I do another one?
Yes, please.
Okay, I have. Let's see, let me go to my, let me find it. Give me 1 second. Oh, it's way up there, isn't it? Okay, here it is. Just me. I put my pearls and imagine the sounds of beats descending from a running fountain of soft jazz with bare feet. Soaking through beach sand, leaving my footprint of my presence, feeling the warm sensation of my significant other. As we steal a glance of each other's eyes without knowing the destination of our path. Just feeling the sand between our toes and the whisper of unfamiliar voices, echoing through the storm of strong winds and the distance of a clickering windmill, eye with sharp blades, only to place fear in our walk. Would not be afraid, for we are soldiers with assembly armor of faith. Pacing the sands beneath our feet and listening to the birds of beautiful harmony, only to pause, to rest, and to smell the roses of life again and again until we walk to the very end.
Wow. You're a fantastic poet.
Thank you. So, how do I listen to this on, it's for the future going forward? Can I get a copy of, or can I listen to
it? You can listen to it tonight just being online, but also if you go to where you found it initially, the link, in about an hour or so, it'll be ready for you to listen to the entire program.
Okay, so I
once
go
we
back
conclude
to
tonight,
Facebook.
Yeah, go back to your Facebook page where you found it, found the link, and then in about an hour, take some time for it to process. It'll be ready for you to review and listen to.
Okay, I have one question. I did a search engine on my Facebook trying to pull it back up, and I wasn't able. Is there a certain what?
Well, what I can do is send you the link. How about that?
Okay, yes. Thank you.
And your name is Marie Cotton?
Yes, Marie Cotton.
All right, I will do that. Thank you, Marie. Thanks for calling in.
Are you quite well?
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate
it. Good night.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Area code 207, the first three numbers are 290. You're on the air.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
This is Valerie from Maine.
I felt so. Hello, Valerie. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. We're doing the best I can.
Good. That's all we can do. The best we can.
I read today that Maine is opening up.
A little bit. You know, in stages.
Okay.
And,
right,
you know, I'm going to stay home. I'm kind of cautious.
All right. Understandable. You got a poem for us? I know you do.
I do. It doesn't seem like it, but it's a pandemic poem because during the pandemic, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. So I listened to a podcast, and something one of the podcasters said inspired me to write this. So this is called Liquid Dreams. The Queen of Neptune would have liquid diamonds as a nightlight glowing in a sconce. The Queen of Neptune would wear solid diamonds cooled in the ice house on her wrists and fingers. You'll be under pressure. She's too hot to handle. The end.
I'm surprised it's not in haiku.
I have a couple haikus if I may read them.
Yes, please.
Okay. One of them, well, they're both about the pandemic, and they are a lot more apropos. This one I just came upon on the other side of the page where I was writing the Liquid Dreams poem. So this doesn't have a title, but it's haiku. Cops in the TP aisle. Everyone freaking out. I just want the chips. Thank you.
You've got one more?
I do have one more, and I'm looking for it right now. You know those notebooks where, there it is right there. You know those notebooks where it flips open like a reporter's notebook?
Yes.
Don't use those. Those are very confusing. Nope. I've gone the wrong way a long time. This is called, to anyone who's listening, including you, happy National Poetry Month. Tomorrow's the last day.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. You are welcome. All right, this is called Grocery Store. No, that's the prompt. This is called Scary Snacks. Scary Snacks. All right, going to the store for groceries and the snacks is scary right now. The end.
Well, thank you, Valerie. You know, you always
You're most welcome. These are just things I write off the top of my head. It's like, what am I going to write about? The snacks, the grocery store, it's really scary to go there. I'm probably going to write about, you know, masks and things like that.
Well, it's always a pleasure to hear your voice. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
All right, then. Talk to you later.
Later.
All right, all right. All right. Area code 781. The first three numbers are 354. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, sir. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Michael, yes?
Yes. And your name?
My name is Adam. I go by Adam H. Poet as well.
All right, great.
How are you?
I'm quite fine. I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm actually based out of Bushwick in Brooklyn, Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York.
All right, fantastic. You have a poem for us?
Yes, I do. So this poem is called So Many, and this poem is based on my experiences living in Brooklyn, New York, and it's a sort of combination of a poem about COVID-19 and homelessness, and sort of the struggle of life on the street. So all those things sort of combined into one. And
yes.
Here it goes. So it's called So Many. So many streets of David struck under the COVID blanket of Goliath, forming himself as a shattered image of thirds, splitting into a concoction of unequal futures rung in the disregard for Brooklyn realities, a belief in deities hidden within corners of Myrtle Avenue chosen to ignore, bums tumbling down Flatbush Avenue, their mornings expressed in hostilities between themselves as distinct bodies of code woven into a very particular pattern of infecting, a revulsion flow interrupted by at-random access memories of better days. Gave you change, gave you food, gave you so many false beliefs in streets as they flowed by in cocks of gum like a series of greed passed above us in frozen syncope. Those better days, a warmth, a touch, a smile, an utter yearning for contact, a memory, a release I felt inside as hair was mad and her eyebrows became shaped like jagged foreshadowings of motherhood, a motherhood of nature to which we broke our sacred bond so long ago. an element of a sudden sadness striking me, a vulnerable moment, a supplication unresolved, a singular frequency misaligned, a life out of balance, embedded within aggressive projections of endless striving, existing within a different fraction of the same trouble, growing in person like poetry in stages, a sacrifice unheard of, unread, unexpected, unwanted, unwarranted as I survive in these streets now alone and cold, each beat like a year gone by within the belted decay of subway lights and constant release of pandemic seasons. And that's it.
Wow. That was powerful. Very, very moving. Very moving.
Thank you. That was the only piece that I wanted to read.
Okay.
Actually, maybe, do I have time for one more? Is that okay?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. So this one more is called Whistling. Here it goes. Whistling. I seek to find truth in knowledge, a quality in disrepair, a rarity once uttered among the musings of first-class passengers riding the waves that no one remembers. That face you ran your fingers down, the touch bringing xylophone sounds in different notes upon your cheeks as vacuous notions of blue flame resound. But somehow now we remain the same. Rephrase those nerves in your body that pulsate hate in the name, agonizing shame, around like gospel of notes high upon sufferings of human insane, rife in fear of capture, a life on the edge of passing and facsimile remain, worse than death of psyche germane, reality of existence, a surrender of mind, refracture, retrain, be kind. And that's it.
Oh, wow. You're a fantastic poet.
Thank you, sir.
I enjoy listening to your work.
Thank you very much. Again, I'm Adam H. Poet, Adam H. Poet, also on Instagram, just one word. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, have a great evening, Adam. Adam H. Poet, everybody.
You as.
Adam H. Poet.
You as.
All right.
You as well, Michael. You as well, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I'm still
all right. I'm glad. It's just you and I right now.
Okay.
Do you have another poem?
Well, hopefully, let me. Now, I have no more related to what's going on at the moment, obviously.
Oh, it's all right.
But anyway, this one is fairly new, and I'm kind of proud of it because it actually took third place in the 2019 Helen Scheibel sonnet competition.
Oh, wow.
And,
congratulations.
Of course, sonnets are about nature. Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, and it's also been published in a couple of anthologies dealing with war, because that's what it deals with. And I don't know if I ever told you, but I am related to Alonzo Cushing, who was a Civil War artillery captain. He was a lieutenant, but he was one of the guys. He died at the Battle of Gettysburg on the third day, and it's always been a big part of my writings and this sort of thing. And this one was actually inspired by a diary entry by a private in the 22nd Massachusetts Infantry, and it's called A Sonnet to Slaughter. The ground held no value, the town little use, except for foot-rotted, gray-clad men hoping to find much-needed shoes. What followed was beyond their ken, when groves of peach trees and fields of wheat became hallowed witness to brutalities as lice-ridden troops, bound for defeat, charged over meadows and fallen bodies. The banshee wail of the rebel yell, arose with bayonets and shot lead. Cannonade shook buildings, roof tiles fell, and after 3 days, desperation led. Gettysburg, then a place of little worth, now one of lost causes, a perfect hell on earth. And that's that.
So, tell me more about your relative. Tell me more about your relative.
Well, he was, actually, he was 22 on the day of the battle. He died on the third day. And he actually was one of the guys who helped hold off Pickett's charge. In fact, I've always sort of compared him to, if you've ever seen the movie 300.
Yes.
About, you know, the Spartans holding off the Persian army for a certain amount of time and just, and that's pretty much what he did. He had 100 guys under his command, and he held off about close to 10,000 Confederate troops for enough time, you know, with enough time to let the Union bring reinforcements up. Lysa, he did die in the battle. In fact, that's one of the things I've been working on is a prose piece about him, which is called The Last Man. Because that's what Stephen Vincent Benet actually wrote about him in one of his poems and called him the last man at the last cannon. You know, that's become a big thing with me is writing he and his brother. I was actually named after his brother, who was in the Navy at the time and also made his own mark in many ways during the Civil War, so... But that was, I wrote that about the Civil War, you know, about the Battle of Gettysburg.
All right, very nice. Very nice.
Thanks.
All right. We'll have some more poems planned. I'm going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back. All right.
Okay, sure.
We are back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to welcome you to the program tonight. We're discussing, we're talking about, we're sharing poetry in the age of the coronavirus. I'd like to bring someone on. Area code 301. The first three numbers are 710. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Michael. It's Marianne.
Hello, Marianne. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Well, all things considered, you know, my father's in the hospital.
Yeah, I know you told me about that.
And,
how is he?
You know, of course, the coronavirus.
Yes.
You know, he's doing better, but you know, actually, I think he's at the point he's sick of being in the hospital. He wants to go back home.
Right.
To Sunrise.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Do you have a poem you'd like to share? I'm so glad to hear your voice. And Bill Cushing is on the line. Bill Cushing is on the line. Bill, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Been hanging around waiting for you.
He's waiting on you, Marianne.
Oh, okay. This poem, it's about the dreams that people have. You know, there was a story a while back about crazy dreams people were having because of the quarantine. I guess probably
mm-hmm.
because they're finally getting enough sleep. And this is about my crazy dream. It's called On the Astral Plane. We spend night facing south, looking over water. Contorted on soft wool, we ignore the loud land behind us. Lights on rusty barges become stars dipping down onto cold black ocean that we pretend is womb. Waves shush our few thoughts, calm our cramped limbs. At dawn, we stagger out as if we'd been drinking, laughing, dancing all night. We step in the thin edge of tide that pokes beyond the beach. Everyone disappears. I meet my friend crossing over from the dry side of the street. Masked, she came to bring me back north on the contagion train. There, holding our breath, standing on the sixth floor, we will not see the ocean, and I'm still the girl with the brown aura laughing inside at someone's tales from the astral plane. Okay, thanks.
Wow. It's beautiful, Marianne.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. Really, really nice. Do you have another?
Thanks. Well, not on the coronavirus. Actually, if you give me a minute, I can read a poem about the Zika virus.
Okay, that'd be great.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Okay.
I'm gonna read a poem from an anthology that Heath Brower did. And actually, it's a memorial poem. It's about a mutual friend and editor and mentor, fellow named Felino Soriano, who is a jazz poet.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. He actually died October, I think it was 2018. And this poem is in his memory. After October. Written in the brilliant corner of a living room, his poems once climbed up the wrought iron bookcase, past his father's albums, past his friend's books, past his daughter's picture to the world beyond. There his words still breathe, racing like raindrops down a summer window, rising like smoke from the last century's jazz clubs, mingling with the notes that Monk and Parker had played. Tonight, at the crowded cafe, a young musician sits at the piano in front of the painted skyline that appears to be New York, not the city of parking lots outside. Like the leaves from street trees, the man's notes shake free in the wind. Brilliant colors scatter without anyone to write them down. Okay. Still there?
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I can hear you. Could you hear me?
Yes, but I didn't hear the jazz poet's name one more time.
Oh, his name is Felino A. Soriano.
Felino A. Soriano.
A. Soriano, yep. A is his middle name, and Soriano is his last name. And actually, it's a really sad story. He had a whole bunch of his poems online on his website, but his family, they weren't able to keep the website going, and a lot of the poems just disappeared. You know, they're piecemeal now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's sad because, he was a very ambitious poet, but, you know, sadly he died. He died, you know, he died young. He died young. He was, you know, he was in his early 40s. So, you know, that's young,
that is
young. Days.
That is
yeah.
young.
Mm.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey,
is Ethan
will,
calling
I
in
will...
as well?
Ethan is playing games.
Okay.
Ethan is with his friends. We'll see if he we'll see if he comes in.
Okay. All right. Then. Well, thank you, Marianne.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. All right. We are here. Area code 301. The first three numbers are 661. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello. Oh, that's me. Yes. Hello.
Yes, you. Hello.
This is Carl. I was like, wait, that's my number. Oh, gosh. Okay. Alrighty then.
All right, and who is
okay.
this?
Okay, this is Pearl Brown.
Pearl.
Don't stop.
I won't start. This is how I get in contact with you.
Yeah.
We need the coronavirus for you to respond to my email.
You know, that's not right. Okay, first of all, I never saw your emails. That doesn't mean you didn't see them. I send them. I'm not always the greatest at following up. But
Okay. Actually,
Lewis had sent a text and said, hey, you know, you should call in. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe. Did you send me emails? Okay, never mind.
Yes, I
we can talk about that later.
Emails. Yes, yeah, we can talk about that.
Did later. You?
All right. Do
oh,
you
wow.
have a
embarrassing.
A poem
I'm so
that
sorry.
You'd like to share?
Okay. Okay.
I still
oh,
want you to do
wow.
the Nina Simone hour with me, though. Nina Simone, so I still want you to do that. So put that on your calendar for sometime in the fall.
Okay. All right. You know, I I'm going to ask, since I don't ever check my emails, I will send you an email.
Okay.
With a better way to contact me.
Okay.
Clearly.
All right.
I'm glad you're okay and everything like that.
Yes, everything is fine. Okay, you've got a poem for us you'd like to share. That'd be beautiful.
I do have a poem. Uh-huh. Let me see. All right. These are new. I think I'm going to do this is a poem regarding my mother.
Okay.
My mother who is, you know, elderly and that kind of thing. Okay. Okay, I'm readjusting my glasses. Okay, so the poem is called
okay.
Mother. Regarding Mom, she seems more distant. What does she see as she blankly stares? What force sparks her to come back to this reality and for how much longer? Why does she drop off to sleep every 10 minutes, snoring softly like a breastfed newborn, satiated and satisfied, secure and relaxed, only to wake once again to this reality? Hair gently mussed about her hair like an ill-fitting crown, sticking up, pressing down all over her head. The gray strands now dominate where brown proudly grew, skin soft and still smooth as a baby's bottom. Correcting her sincere but erroneous statements. I'll see you tomorrow, Mom. I already saw you today. Remember? That was last week, not this week. Remember, Mom? No, Mom, it's Thanksgiving Eve, not Christmas Eve. Remember, the doctor's appointment is at 11 a.m. Yesterday's appointment was at 9 a.m. Remember? Remember, Mom, check your planner. You wrote it all down in your planner. noticing her beautiful hand-knit sweater is now spotted with food crumbs hardened into crust. Was that the food from yesterday? Her hand-knit sweater over the same cotton PJ bottoms from 2 days ago. So she didn't go out today. Inside a darkened house, not noticing that the lights are off, not caring that the lights are off. Mom, where are you? I mean, really, where are you? What did you do all day today? Did you eat with your friends in the dining area? Did you finish your crossword puzzle? Did you read your book about Harriet Tubman? Or maybe, Mom, do you hear Dad talking to you? Is he inviting you to come and join him in his heavenly abode? Do you hear the haunting lyric of death floating from an angelic piper's majestic flute? From the shore of the living, loudly I scream, Mommy, come home. Mommy, turn back. Mommy, do not leave me. My pleas are in vain. My needs unimportant. My desperate shouting is silenced. This melody of death soothes your soul, enshrines your grief, blankets your ears. You dance toward that silent beat. I stand on the living shore, muted and helpless, mouth open, yet no sound coming out. I stand on the living shore, muted and helpless. I stand on the living shore alone.
Mm.
Thank you.
Oh, very powerful poem.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
My dad passed away in November, so.
Did he?
I wrote that. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I wrote that.
Mm.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. Well, I want to thank you for sharing.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Do you have another?
I do have another one.
Okay, great.
I'll do a new passion poem. I haven't done this on the air at all. Anyway, so this is new.
All right, a debut. All right, a world debut.
A debut. Yeah, okay. So okay, so this is called The Kiss. Alrighty. I gazed into the question in his eyes, searching for truth, anticipation, receiving boldness, frankness, naked vulnerability. I watched his pupils grow large, expanding into the reflections of mine. His hands rested gently on the planes of my face, cool and strong, warm and gentle, fingers moving back and forth and back and forth, creating a masterpiece of sensation atop the canvas of my skin. My hands rested lightly against the broadness of his pecs, gently rounding out his erect nipples, pulling against the hardness, inviting closeness, yet pushing against that hardness, stilling the closeness. His heart beat a solid syncopation against the soles of my hands, deep, primal, laying down the beat that sprung our passions into a higher vibe of pleasure. He inclined his face toward mine. I countered, inclining my face towards his. Breathing deeply, I smelled the scent of myrrh raising off of his neck and jawline. We touched foreheads and, jerked apart from the shock of the transformation of two different frequencies of desire, joining into one unified, undulated wave of sensuality. His breath against my cheek cooled the heat of my flesh swirling against my ear, tickling my lobes. I heard the quickening of my own breath, the racing of our hearts. I felt the tightness in my, as his hands adjusted the angle of my face towards the angle of his mouth, turning slightly, leaning towards, eyelids falling, our lips brushed, slightly open, tender and soft, heated and wet, we press, locked, loaded, we stick, we lick, we engage, release, and engage. That's it.
Wow. Doesn't sound like very much social distancing was going on in that poem.
This is simply not right. That's all I can say. Yeah, this is before COVID-19, okay?
No, no COVID-19.
Yeah, before, okay. BC-19, all right?
BC-19. That was beautiful again. Beautiful again. I love your work. I love your work. And it's good to hear you laugh, too.
Thank you. It's good to hear you, too. Now, before you go, is it okay if I ask you for your email? Is
yes.
that cool or no?
No, that's fantastic. It's no problem.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
M-A-I. M-A-I. Uh-huh.
327.
M-A-I 327.
@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Yes.
M-A-I. 327@gmail.com.
Yes. Thank you, Pearl.
All righty. Thank
All right.
you so much. You take care.
All right.
Be safe. All righty. Bye.
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 Bill, are you with me?
Oh, yes, I'm still here. That woman is from L.A., I assume. I heard the 310.
No, I think she's... 310, she's area code, it was area code 301.
Oh, 301, okay, I heard it.
Yes,
back.
Yes.
We're inside out, I guess. Okay.
Like I said, there was no social distancing in that particular poem. There was none. No
yeah.
social distancing.
The one about her mother was wonderful, that really was.
Wasn't it, though? That was really, really nice. You know, growing old is really no joke, Bill. Growing old is no joke.
Yeah, there you go. But,
yeah.
Actually, I'm writing a lot about that these days.
Are you really?
In fact, if you want, I'll zap you with one that's fairly new and take it out on a high note, I guess, on a,
okay.
a lighter note.
That'd be fantastic. Yes.
This is something... Because having taught for all those years, of course, one of the things you always get exposed to is older people complaining about younger people and younger people complaining about older people. And
mm-hmm.
this is sort of my poetic hypothesis as to why that's the situation. The poem is called The Answer. It's a parade of animosity and rage, this age-old melee between youth and old age. Elders view the young and complain, while youth regards those graying with disdain. The source that's led to such invective is an easy shoal to thread. It's in the perspective. Young people see in the elderly what they will be, presenting one frightening eventuality. Meanwhile, the old heed what to them is the idiocy of youth, and they plead, was that really once me? There actually is no need to guess. The answer to both views is yes. And that's that.
Mm. Wow. The answer is yes.
So that's my answer to the age-old dilemma, is why the youth hate the older and the older hate the younger. Everybody's upset with everybody else.
That's true. There's a lot of hate going on. Well, I think what I'm going to do, Bill, is conclude this hour. I've got about 9 minutes left. And I'll recite the poem written by the young man from Abuja, Nigeria.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll call it a night. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me, and I look forward to seeing this post. And I'm going looking for
okay.
it, I'm sure.
All right, then, friend. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
time tonight, we're focusing on poetry in the era, in the age of the coronavirus. And what I'd like to do is to end the evening with a poem written by a young man from Abuja, Nigeria. His name is Alatish Kolawole. He had provided me an opportunity to read his work, and I was amazed. He'd also provided me a copy of his work in terms of an MP3, but unfortunately it did not translate well. So here we are. So I'd like to read his poem and share his work with you. The title of the piece is The World Needs an Anthem. There are 195 countries in the world today, and we are all interconnected at the climate level. Alatish sees a world that calls for an anthem, and so do many other people across today's world. They have all said, her time will come. We are our lives, and we do all we can to save our own. Our hearts beat for the coronavirus victims. If you ask, who am I, nor which locale I am, I will simply state that I am people and a locale of the world. If you ask where I stand, nor what grounds I stand on, I will simply state that I stand for the world. I stand for peace, faith, unity, and progress. If you ask what I see, nurses and carers on the front line, I see into distant countries and faraway lands. I see architects and the builders from all around the world building bridges that bind and roads that connect all of us. Here is a dream. We fly around the world. We fly around the sky. We are together. We are stronger now. Here's a dream. We fly around the sky. There's a song singing now. Our beautiful world needs an anthem. Our beautiful world thus needs a song. We want to dance. The beautiful world needs an anthem. We match for a purpose. I have never seen my skin, nor your skin, but I see myself in you. I see you in myself. You are my brother now. You are my sister now. I hear languages. I see beauty in our diversities. Things fall together, and the center begins to hold. Love is growing on every lawn. Love brews in our every home. The world needs an anthem. I see neighbors all around the world joining in, singing this blissful song, singing the same notes to the same song. Togetherness are the chorusing songs. There's a fall of rain. There's hope in our world. I see the future light. I see us all together frolicking with the same song. That's Alatish Kolawole, Abuja, Nigeria. I think we may have two more people. Hold on 1 second here. All right. Area code 513, area code 300. You're on the air. Hello? Area code 513, the first three numbers are 300. You're on the air. Maybe they're just here to listen.
Yeah, peace all and right. Blessings. This is Romeo DiNatti. I was just calling, first time calling, listening in.
Okay, all right. Would you like to share a poem?
Not at the moment. I was just listening
okay.
in.
Just
listening
in. All right, sir. All right, then. All right. Glad you're here. Area code 973. The first three numbers are 748. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Ron Bremner from Glen Ridge, New Jersey.
Hello.
I'm a member of the Brownstone Poets and the Red Wheelbarrow Poets, and I'm glad to be here, Michael.
Great. I'm glad to have you here, too.
I'd like to just read a very short poem. This is a Senryu, and it's for the poet William Logan. And it goes like this. Giddy streams of thought, jitterbugging down the page in jazzy half sense. And that was it.
Okay. All right, all right. You have another?
Sure. I could do an absurdist poem, if you don't mind.
No, please.
All right. This is called Beef Hearts, Swans, Bordriel, and Forster. If your heart gets too hot, place an ashtray on your head and hold a diamond close to a rabbit. Then run with Sue to paint Egypt with a blue carrot. A bat will throw bricks at your jeans. Bud likes the flavor of a dirty telephone belonging to the sheriff in Hong Kong. A monkey that looks like a lovely vampire sits on your knee. At the end of time, why hide your property from the clay man? Your life is half your job. Are you a cop, a butcher, or a thug born of his own asphyxiation? Don't forget to give me pleasure and cruelty, but please don't shrink my body, or I'll have to castrate your life. A criminal caustically caresses an organism in the temple, but is discharged for his internal rottenness. Your strokes throb and shiver when caressed. A pig whips my body and spits. And that's my absurdist poem for my collection, Absurd, out on Cajun Mutt Press.
Okay. Is it available on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
All right. And your name again, so that everyone knows.
My name is Ron Bremner, but the name I go by is R. Period Bremner, B-R-E-M-N-E-R. And I thank you, Michael, and I thank you for this show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I really do. Have a nice evening.
You too.
All right. I think we'll conclude now. I'd like to recite one piece, a piece that I put together some years ago, but I think it works for tonight's program. The theme of the program is called An Encapsulated Life. Last night, in my bed, secure in my room, as the moon watched, I pulled a blanket over my head. I no longer wanted to see the world around me. The pitch blackness created by the contours of the blanket enabled me to shut out the night. Drown out the corona light, light that burned my eyes daily, light that burned my mind incessantly, light that burned my heart perpetually, never ending, never ceasing chaos caused by the light, triggered by the world. So last night, in my bed, secure in my room, as the moon watched, I pulled a blanket over my head, I shut out the light, I drowned out the night once more. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and for those out there listening, be safe, be well, and good night.